back. First time three-time returner on the show? Oh, technically, this is going to be your second time. And then when your episode airs, it's going to be your third time. So I'm going to have to go back. Man. Yeah. I'm going to have to be the magic man on there. It's like we're going back in time. To quote, I don't know who sang that song. Was it Huey Lewis?
I think so. We don't have to wonder anymore.
Yeah.
We do have the magic of technology. Yeah.
You know what's crazy, too, about technology? It's like we don't have that bar banter. Huh?
It was Huey Lewis.
It was Huey Lewis?
Huey Lewis and the news.
Yeah. And the news sucks nowadays. I'm just kidding. No, but like we don't have that bar banter anymore. Like, oh no, it was this motherfucker, or it was this person, it was that actor. No, you're wrong. It was that actor that played this role.
Yeah.
Because now everything just you have a supercomputer in your phone. I mean, in your phone.
You know who actually had a hilarious thing about this?
Yeah.
You should 100%. If you don't listen to Pete Holmes.
Oh, I love Pete Holmes.
So Pete Holmes has. By far the greatest thing about how phones have ruined our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, back in the day, you would have a question.
Yeah.
You would be like, where's Tom Petty from?
Yeah.
And you just wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You would feel that in your soul, your heart. You this lack of information. Yeah. You would go to parties.
Your brain talk would be to people. Free-falling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You talk to people and you would be like, where is Tom Petty from? And then somebody, some miraculous woman would appear and she'd tell you, Florida. And you would feel that release and wave of endorphins in your heart. Like, and that's how you met your wife.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's how I met your mother.
Exactly. Shout out to Pete Holmes for that bit. But that has all gone away because now you just look it up on your phone and you're just like, in 3 seconds, you're like, oh, okay, I know this now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Another bit of information. Yeah.
And it just kind of ruined everything. Yeah. And that, you know, How My Mother has an episode about that. I was like, ruining beer bar banter.
Oh, yeah.
But we are back. Mm-hmm. Nadav is back again.
I'm here. Yes, he's back.
For the third time. Back again. Yeah. Nadav is back. Tell a friend. But this episode is gonna be good. I got to talk to Nick Poblina, who's a director of brewing operations for Humble Sea. We got to hear his story about how he started the brewery, and like you know, just the kind of stuff he had to go through to get there. Like the hearing his craft beer journey and. That to me means more to me than anything because like I tell everybody every week, if you have that something in you and you're like, man, like I kind of want to try this. I kind of like, I think I can do this, but I'm not sure. Just take that leap. Or to quote Vince Vaughn in Be Cool, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Just go after it.
I actually have a funny story about the Humble Sea guys.
Oh, that's here.
Which is really nice.
Let's do it.
I did a collaboration brew with Orpheus, RIP, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And after the end of a very long brew day while I was hanging out on the patio, who walks up? These two guys from Humble Sea.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, we're in town for this festival that's going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, my brother's from the same from the same state.
Yeah.
You're not that far away. How are you doing? And they were just like, what the hell are you doing here? And I was like, what the hell are you doing here? And we all had a nice beer together. And it was really fun.
That's perfect. I mean, and perfect lead into the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we get to have a beer. I'm drinking a collaboration that this sorcerer sitting across from me from Long Beach Beer Lab. They did a collab with Untitled Arts, a Rice Pilsner, and if you know Mike, it's I'm a Rice Pilsner connoisseur.
It also has garbanzo beans in it.
Ooh. You Harry Potter, you'd probably be in what house?
If the internet has told me anything so far, I've been in Gryffindor, but I don't know if I
don't know if I believe that because you're such a sorcerer.
Yeah.
You kind of seem like you'd be hanging out with Snape a little bit. So,
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, maybe like just on the side.
Just dabble in those dark arts.
Yeah, just dabbling.
Just dabbling.
Yeah.
That's how we do.
But, yeah, like, do you, like, I mean, do you ever, like, not make a good beer? Or?
Oh, all the time. This shit is garbage. What are you talking about?
No, it's fucking, it's fucking delicious.
It's the old adage about breweries. You got to make a lot of bad beer before you make a good beer.
Oh, yeah.
And if anyone argues with that, then they're a magician that I would love to meet.
Yeah. You're going to go on a magic carpet ride because it's a whole new world.
Oh, jeez. Now you're pulling at my heartstrings.
No, so me and Nadav have been sitting here for 3.5 hours.
Something like that.
Roughly. And we recorded the longest episode of all time.
Woohoo!
So get ready for that in a couple of weeks. But no, but it's been a blast, and I've said off air and on air how appreciative I am of you and how stoked I am for you to be able to do like to be able to go back home and for you and your wife to be totally like on board with it, because you know sometimes when you make a big move, sometimes it might be about a job or it might be about this or it might be about that, but for you and your wife to be on the same page and be like, let's fucking rock this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yep. Look, I'll tell you, it's a very scary time.
Of course.
But there is... I'm not going to delve too deep into this, as I told you before.
Oh, it's all good, brother.
I'm not going to delve into everything that's going on, but there's a belief that we have, which is a phrase in Hebrew, which is lo mefachid klal.
Yeah.
Which is not afraid of anything.
Yeah.
So nothing's going to stop us from going back home to where we belong. And we're just going to, you know, go back home. I'm going to make some beer. And we're all going to have a good time. And hopefully everything will calm down as soon as it possibly can.
Yeah. And I hope I can get some of that beer.
Oh, you'll get some beer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's legal or not.
But, yeah, it's fine.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully it doesn't get stopped at customs.
Yeah, we can't send beer through the mail.
Whatever.
So dumb.
So right?
Yeah. Why? Like,
because I don't have a business license?
Yeah. It's so stupid. Like, we just think, you know, like, you can, you know, send whatever else. Like, you know, people can... I was going to make a really bad joke, and I'm not going to do it.
The feeling I know where you were going with that, and it's probably better that you don't make that
joke. This is a family show. No, it's not. I mean, I cuss all the time. I mean, if people listen with their family, I apologize. I mean, my apologies.
This is rated NC-17 for your safety.
Oh, exactly. Like you said, gold jacket, green jacket. Who gives? No, that's how I ended the third episode, so it is like we're traveling through time. Just so... we can kind of... Oh, so, of course, I want to plug Long Beach Brewery Lab. Tell us... I know we... because we did talk about it already, but technically that's in the future.
That is in the future.
So what do we got going on? What's coming up?
Long Beach Beer Lab will have a Big Lebowski event sometime in December, TBD on the date. We'll have four magical beers that will definitely tie the room together.
These are magical.
That may or may not be the name of one of them.
Exactly.
It's going to be a good time. There'll be a costume contest, and we'll be showing the Big Lebowski, obviously. And we're just going to keep, abiding by the brew until it releases.
Exactly. Should we do an open Ocarina night?
Open Ocarina night?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. If you could find an Ocarina player.
I mean, I'm sure we could find some on Amazon or eBay, maybe.
I mean, you can find the Ocarinas,
yeah.
But the people somebody who play them.
maybe we just have to learn. And then we can bring in a whole different clientele. You can make not here, because I know you're leaving. But maybe they can do like a Zelda inspired beer.
Oh, I've been rallying for that.
Yeah.
We just have to get through one fandom at a time.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, fortunately slash unfortunately slash mostly fortunately,
yeah.
Star Wars has a long reach that is very lengthy to get through before we end that and then open up a new one.
Understandable, so, for sure.
But yeah, Zelda, Avatar,
yeah.
Lots of things that potentially could happen.
When you realized Sheik was the princess, was your mind blown as a kid?
I mean, I kind of figured it out pretty quick, yeah. Even as a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, there are not that many blonde people in Hyrule.
Yeah. It's weird.
There only really seem to be yeah. two.
Even, like, what's his name? Looked like even, who's the farm owner? Looked like Mario, kind of. Like a
yeah,
like an out-of-work Mario who's just like, fuck, I just have to have a farm now.
I mean, Nintendo there's only no had so many in... sprites to go through.
There's no plumbing in Hyrule.
No.
So.
It's very much medieval shit yeah. in a bucket. And
oh,
down
definitely.
Port the yeah. wall.
What was your favorite song in Zelda?
Song of Storms.
Oh, banger. Yeah.
That's Game of Thrones. Sorry.
Yeah, close
enough.
You know
what? Actually, the Game of Thrones actually sounds very much alike the Song of Storms.
Did they rip off Zelda?
Could be. I don't know. I don't want to say they did. I'm not pointing any fingers.
If they didn't, they didn't.
But you know, Game of Thrones goes da na 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 na. And
it does,
Song
yeah.
of Storms goes.
I didn't think about that. I mean, I'm not monetizing this thing, so technically, I could play both of them right now.
You could.
I'd have to look them up.
Not horribly different.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I remember I was in Tiger. This is completely off topic, so everybody listening to this episode is going to be like, what the fuck's he talking about? There was a... I have a sleep, and I'll play some stuff for you after. Like, you know, like Calm, almost?
Mm-hmm.
But I do it on Spotify, and it's like all piano-based Nintendo games.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of Koji Kondo.
Oh, like it's mostly Zelda. It's Zelda, mm-hmm. and there's like some Pokemon mm-hmm. in there. And then
so
little,
Zelda would be Koji Kondo,
and a hair of Mario.
Hmm.
Good stuff.
You know who else you could do a lot of good piano music to fall asleep to? Would be Nobuo Uematsu, who did the Final Fantasy music.
Ooh. What was your favorite? So you're a Final Fantasy guy. Okay, so now we're in a whole other thing.
Okay, I don't think
we're going for another hour.
Are we doing an intro here, or are we just continuing?
Yeah, it's fine. We're about 13 minutes in. Is that, we got time.
Best one, hands down, and I know this has been said a lot across the internet. Seven.
Yeah,
seven is the one best. That is my favorite.
Cloud, yeah.
There's something about that, all of that. I'm all in for it. Freaking love Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah.
Following that, I really love 10.
Okay.
10 had a great story. I felt very, very much heartstrings for poor Titus, who went through time and watched his father become a monster.
Yeah.
Love that game. Also loved 12. 12 was an interesting one.
Okay.
Very German directed in terms of the names and stuff.
Yeah.
But a fun play style.
Yeah.
Now, the game, though, that made me feel the most like brotherhood, though, was 15.
Okay.
Because, sorry, but you have four bros on a road trip that gets horribly derailed in the worst possible direction. And then you have Florence and the Machine sing Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, that was a fun freaking game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it's seven for me. Mm-hmm. Love that take on it. And what I wanted to ask you, because, I mean, I'll just tell you seven's my favorite, but I know nine is kind of... Like, it's like the love-hate. It's mm-hmm. on the love-hate spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about 9?
So, 9, that was... 8 was the one with Leon, right? So, 9 was the one with what's-his-name with the tail.
Yes.
Yes. So, I loved 9. The thing is that 9 I played on an emulator on my computer.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to the last half of the last disc, and my computer died.
Oh.
And I lost all of my save data.
Oh, yeah.
And I was not about to replay all that.
Yeah,
so.
It's a fucking... It's what? How many discs was 9? Oh, I mean, if you're playing on an emulator, obviously it's different.
It's none, I think.
But I think it was 2 discs or 3 discs on...
It was long.
Yeah.
And I was not about to go back and redo that all again.
Yeah.
So, as much as I had played up to that point, very much enjoyed, liked it a lot.
Yeah. Oh, it was a phenomenal game, just like 7 was. Like, 7 will always be... If I had to rank the games I mentioned in the future, It was Uncharted, Ocarina, Final Fantasy VII, probably.
Okay.
Those would be like top three for me, because it was just like the storytelling, and that and those in those games, like Cloud, and even like I remember like when Advent Children came out, like the movie or like the thing that they made, the DVD. When you have like, you were so invested in like those characters, and you get kind of lost in them in a way. And when that stuff like happened, I was like, man, like, imagine if they made like a full, like, imagine if they redid Final Fantasy and then they did it. Haven't played it yet. I don't know, I'm probably gonna get shit for that. I'm sure I will, but
I have played the first part of the remake.
I heard it's amazing.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty fun. Few filler things in there to kind of take you away from the main story that you love and remember. But overall, good time. Liked it.
Sephiroth as a villain?
I will tell you, like, I don't want to spoil things for you if you haven't played it.
Oh, no, it's all right. I mean, it's all right. I mean, because I love Sephiroth. I just was asking your opinion on Sephiroth.
I mean, I love Sephiroth. I think he's very much a tragic villain. He's not as... He has a lot more depth to him than most villains in probably 90% of video games.
Oh, for sure.
Because he goes through this crazy transition, and his whole goal is related to Genova and not just about the pure.
Yeah, he's not just a normal bad guy.
Yeah. Like he has a reason and for what he's doing.
Yeah.
Which is part of what makes the game great, is because you actually feel something for the villain.
Yeah.
I think that was definitely one of the games I played as a child that really pulled at my heartstrings, especially with a character like Cloud, who literally doesn't know who he is because his brain has been so physically messed up by things that he has no concept of who his actual consciousness is, because it's been so entwined with another person and with all of these Genova cells that have literally just destroyed his brain chemistry. It really just like, and then you have his best friend as a child, Tifa, looking at him and just being like so sad because she loves him so much, and she just like doesn't know what she can possibly do to help him.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those things that just like wrenches your heart in a way.
Yeah.
I love that game.
Yeah.
A lot.
And you know, we talked about video games in the future. how they can, if they're done well, if they're done well, they can tickle those heartstrings and kind of like make you feel like, oh, fuck, you know, like, and when the game's over, it's like, well, now what am I going to do?
That's how I feel after every major video game I play. I feel like lost for a day. I'm like, what the fuck do I do with my time now?
What was the, okay, one more question. Mm-hmm. What was the, if is there a game out there that where you played it once and you're like, I gotta play this again?
I mean, there have been multiple games like that, but
well, the one you wanted to play them, like, you played more times than any other game.
I think the game, the two games equally, I think I've played more times than any other games are Ocarina of Time and Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII I've probably played 50 times.
Yeah.
Just played it over and over and over again. And Chrono Cross.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, in the future.
Because it was a Chrono Cross, and then there's Chrono Trigger too, right?
So Chrono Trigger was the SNES game, and Chrono Cross was a PlayStation 1 game. The thing about Chrono Cross is that you can get different allies in different playthroughs, and if you get certain allies, you can't get certain other allies.
Yeah.
But every time you start a new game plus, you maintain the allies you had from the previous playthrough.
Okay.
So you can get certain... so you can play it multiple times and go through the storylines of these other allies and companions that you can pick up, and some of them are just like... They don't make games like that anymore.
Oh, no.
They really don't. Like, the emotional, just, like, trauma that you go through watching the things that these people go through.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, how did a human brain think of this horrible thing that they can do to these people?
Yeah.
Then you watch that, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. That's, not good. And then you could watch a guy go talk to a tree. and get a Deku shield and everything
and
else.
Crawl in his mouth and go explore and kill some spiders.
Yeah. Kill some, what are they, golden Skulltulas.
Mm-hmm.
What a life.
What a life.
Yeah.
The 90s were a different time.
Oh, the best time. Because, yeah, like we mentioned earlier, we're the last kind of generation that's like, you know, was out playing around, you know. I remember going to 99 cents where I wanted to get the grenade water balloons. I was like, oh, I'm gonna wreck my whole family when they get home.
Yeah.
They're not gonna know what hit them.
Playing in my backyard in magnolia trees, climbing trees. I don't see kids climbing trees anymore.
Oh yeah. No, they climb a tree, someone will call the cops.
Why is your kid running away? Yeah. He's just playing. Why is your kid running away?
But back then, it was like, it was different. Like, and I say back then, like it was like, you know, 50 years ago, but I mean, it was almost 30 years ago.
Like old people.
Yeah.
Back in my day.
Rocko. I was gonna do a Stitch for some reason. I was going to do a Stitch, but I was like, oh, no, it's funnelet. But I don't know why I was going to do that. It just came into my head. But just growing up, like, you know, it's kind of like I watched The Outsiders the other day, and I was like, I hadn't seen that movie in years.
Mm-hmm.
Coppola. And it was like watching, like, hear him say, like, stay golden, pony boy. And I'm like, it hit me so much harder than it did when I was a teenager. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, why am I hurting so bad right now just watching this?
Yeah.
But it's those, it's, I think, they, like you mentioned earlier, oh, in the future, you mentioned how, like you kind of have that different kind of take on things when you're younger and older, whether it's Boy Meets World or The Outsiders that I'm mentioning. And it's just, you know, it's cool to kind of see that, because, like, you can see yourself growing and stuff like that, and you can kind of do it, but then when you see what's going on in the world nowadays, you're like, ah, oh, shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, this intro, I mean, I went off the rails, so I apologize.
So on that note.
Yeah. But, so stay tuned for the interview with Nick Pavlina, the director of brewing operations for Humble Sea. And thank you to Nadav for putting up for me for closing in on 4 hours.
Always happy to have you.
Yeah, it was a freaking blast for me, man. Always. We might have to just go back to the other episode and just add more on.
You're on the editing department.
Yeah. But I really appreciate it. And, like, yeah, obviously, you opening up the doors to me. And, like, you know, me going from when it was Taps and Tailgates doing 100 episodes with them, and then starting, like, knowing I had to start fresh, and you guys were my fourth episode, and you were my fourth episode. No one knows, like, fuck, like, and then I remember sitting over there, like, thinking, like, fuck, like, why isn't my brother's laptop working? And I bought my own, so it's a brand new one. I mean,
it's a nice one.
Yeah. And I was like, man, like, I was just trying to make it work. And I was like, but I felt, like, so unprofessional the first time. And it was just, like, I was just trying to, you know.
It was the best time.
It was so fun, man.
So much fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. And that was the thing, like, for me, like, I felt like, we mentioned earlier that we kind of, like, at least for me, like, and I'm, you know, if it is for you, if it's not, it's all right. But, I mean, like, I just felt like I made me and this guy, we can talk Star Wars any fucking time. I remember I sent you that picture of that Goodwill book, the Heir to the Empire. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about Ahsoka for a little bit. And in the future, we talked about Ahsoka.
Wibbly wobbly, yeah. Timey wimey.
Exactly. Jeremy Baramy. It's a callback. But thank you again for being on the show, brother. Absolutely. And we'll finish these beers, and we'll, I don't want to keep you away from your wife too long.
Well, she's out of town, so.
Oh, well, then now we're just getting
shit. I'm a free
now
bird.
We're just getting shit-faced. All right, so I think we might go back to the other episode and just add more shit on there. I love you guys. I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Stay tuned for the outro. All right, guys, welcome back to the Tap Room, and I'm your host, Mike. I have a very special guest on today, Nick Pavlina from Humble Seas, the co-founder and director of brewing there. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for being on. I really appreciate it. I always admired your brewery and all the beer you guys make. So I really appreciate being able to, you know, talk to you and kind of hear your story of how you got everything started.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm drinking. I was mentioned earlier off air that I was drinking about to have a beer from it's a collab that you and your brewery and Tripping Animals did. Could you tell us a little bit of like about your craft beer journey and how you got into craft beer?
Yeah, it's a long story, so I'll try to hit the key points here. Mm-hmm. But it started, I guess, in college. I went to school in Chico, Northern California, Chico State. Which is home to a cute little brewery by the name of Sierra Nevada. Awesome. I was introduced to them in college and was exposed to all of their beers, specifically a handful of beers that you could only get in Chico at the time. And it kind of blew my mind that beer could taste that good and still be super drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved home from college, this was 2008. I started homebrewing with my dad, who actually homebrewed in Chico in the 70s. And he still had all his old homebrewing equipment from the 70s. So started doing some batches with him and immediately became hooked and kind of surpassed his brewing knowledge pretty quickly.
Okay.
So just kind of obsessed over homebrewing for several years, then went through the American Brewers Guild. It's a beer school based out of Vermont. In 2012. So graduating 2012 from that kind of wanting to open a brewery, but didn't really know kind of the path I wanted to take and kind of how to go about it. So, I was actually approached by a friend at the time, to open a brewery with her. And, so we started, kind of planning every week for several months, but she unfortunately passed away.
Oh,
so the brewery kind of got put on the back burner for several years. Fast forward a couple years, 2014 is when I got married, and I made all the beer for my wedding homebrew.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I don't know, 7 or 8 batches of beer for like 300 people. And had several people at the wedding come up to me and kind of say, you know, if you don't open a brewery, we'll be pretty bummed. And so I was like, all right, well, maybe I should give it another shot here, and approached my two business partners shortly after. And we kind of started planning pretty much every week. We would meet at a coffee shop in town and built a business plan and kind of put things together. And then finally, a couple years later in 2017, we opened our doors in Santa Cruz and kind of went from there.
That's awesome, man. And that's really cool because, I mean, like, obviously, every time I get a chance, because I'm in down in Southern California, like in like the LA Orange County area. But it's not always easy for me to get your beer. But when I find it, I just like, I try to get as many as I can or as many 4-packs as I can, because I love the socks and sandals, both the clear and the foggy.
Nice.
And also I love the humble Helles's. I've gotten really into Helles's lately, and that one's so good.
Yeah, Helles is our jam.
Yes, and you guys have multiple locations. So you have Santa Cruz, and then you also have, was it Alameda just opened recently?
Yeah, so we have a tap room in Alameda, East Bay, tap room restaurant in Pacifica, which is just outside of San Francisco. And then we have this kind of seasonal, it's only been one summer, but a beer garden out on the Santa Cruz Wharf.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's actually ending pretty soon at the end of October, but hopefully we'll be out there again next summer.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I mean, I can imagine what the views are like out there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I bet. And you mentioned, like, you know, homebrewing with your dad, because, I mean, I always like to ask, especially when I've talked to a brewer or anything like that, I don't think I've ever heard anyone, had anyone ever tell me that they got to brew with their dad, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely pretty cool. Yeah. Excuse me. Cool, unique thing. And he likes to say that he started a beer club back in Chico in the 70s, and he likes to think Ken Grossman was a part of it, but who knows, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, because I mean, like you'll get to do something like that or share an experience like that with your dad, and for your dad to be doing it, you know, way back when like homebrewing was like, you know, like you said, it was, or even just like craft beer, I feel like was still, especially in California, like it was like in its infancy, and I feel like it just grown exponentially over the last like, you know, 10-15 years compared to
definitely
when out here it was like it was Stone, you know, Sierra Nevada, like you said, or like I remember like Great Basin for a long time. But I mean, these like all these different breweries now, they're everywhere, and there's quality beer out there. And what you guys are putting out weekly, I mean, like not weekly, because you guys do can releases every, I see quite a bit, but every time I have a chance to get it, like I said, I'm always taking as much as I can.
Yeah, we release a few new brands every week pretty consistently.
That's awesome. Do you remember that first beer or the first beer you had with you homebrewed with your dad?
I think we just got like a pale ale, you know, kit from a local homebrew store. It came out pretty decent. First batch actually was pretty good. And then I had a couple not so good ones after that, but
yeah,
finally got things kind of dialed in.
Yeah. I mean, and I always kind of, one thing it always kind of fascinates me, especially when somebody like, you know, opens a brewery, and that's just, you know, like when what it took, like when you like from that initial thought, like, you know, yeah, this is something, like to when it actually happens and you see it all kind of come to fruition. Like I nerd out over that stuff, because I mean, it just shows you can hear the passion, you know, in people's voices, and you can hear it in your voice, you know, when you're talking about something that you care about, especially, you know, with your brewery. When did it finally hit you? Like, man, it's happening. Like, was that like, you know, what was that like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I still feel like it's like not like I still don't feel like we're a real brewery. It's weird. Still, yeah. Like kind of have my homebrew roots kind of set in. But yeah, I mean, the kind of transition to like kind of one of my, I don't know, it's not really like my favorite taproom story, but mm-hmm. When we first opened, you know, being a homebrewer for forever, we always had, you know, barbecues at our house, so I could just get rid of all the beer that I was making. It was yeah. Way too much for me to drink, you know? So I was, mm-hmm. I was used to just friends and family drinking my beer for free, basically. So when we first opened the tap room, just seeing all these strangers walking around drinking my beer felt mm-hmm. really weird, and almost felt like bad that I was charging them for, no. You know, it was just a really weird feeling. But that was like the moment that it kind of hit me, you know, that, oh shit, this is actually a business now, you know. But I don't know, I still feel like I'm always learning new things. So it's, I don't know, it's just like a never ending learning, basically, which is why craft beer is so rad. There's just so much to always learn. Things are always kind of changing. There's so much mm-hmm. to experiment with, you know? So it's, I just feel like it's never complete, you know, there's always something better yeah. to do. Or
I love that mentality though, because I mean, I'm always wanting to do different things, especially with the show. Like I'm always wanting to see where else I can take it, you know, you know, how far I can travel to, you know, to talk to somebody, or if I can, you know, we could talk remotely like this, or being able to talk to different guests. But I mean, I love when I talk to brewers is that, you know, they can put out one of the best recipes or one of the best beers I've ever had, but it's still like, yeah, but I can change a little bit, or I can tweak a little bit. Like I want to take it over here or take it over there and try all these different things. It's never like we're pretty similar when it comes to that, just a mentality. Like we're kind of perfectionists where it's not ever good enough. You want it to kind of keep on growing.
Definitely.
That's awesome. So, I mean, I was always curious too, cause I love the logo and yep. I love the name. I was kind of curious about where the name kind of came from, obviously being from Chico, like, you know, being close to the sea in Santa Cruz and stuff like that.
But yeah.
How did that all
come? Yeah. So the name kind of, came to me, I don't know, shortly after I was started brewing, maybe 2009, I was living in Pleasure Point, Santa Cruz, which is, you know, right next to the beach, big kind of surfing area, living with some good friends at the time, and being kind of born and raised in the Santa Cruz area, you know, the ocean's always been a close, you know, special thing to me. So
yeah,
I always thought, you know, if I was ever to open a brewery, what would I name it? And wanted something that kind of sounded cool, had some deeper meaning, and you know, always try to be humble with everything I do, you know, meaning there's always room for improvement and feedback, especially making beer. So came up with the name Humble Sea that I thought, you know, took that all and put it together and had an interesting kind of sound to it. So that's kind of how I came up with the name.
That's awesome. Now, who does the candle work? Because I love all this stuff. I mean, I feel like some of the stuff always kind of reminds me, like, I want to say there was one that reminded me of, like, because I know Bart, it looked like Bart Simpson was on the can, one of the ones I had. But I was curious about who did that can artwork.
Yeah, so one of my business partners kind of handles all of our branding and marketing. So he's one of the reasons why I pitched him early on is because, you know, that's not my expertise. I just wanted to focus on making beer. So
yeah,
he had a pretty successful design branding background. So I pitched him on doing that. And so he has a design studio with several different artists from kind of around the world. And so he initially did all of our artwork, and one of his artists is down in Central America somewhere, but he's been doing our artwork for the past several years consistently.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I love the merch too. Like, I love your, like, your t-shirts and stuff like that. The, I want to say everything. I feel like anything you guys put out, whether it's the, you know, the beer, the merchandise, anything like that, is, it feels like everything's just, you know, the tip of the, I was going to say, like, just top class. It's just, everything's just really, really just, like, you can tell, like, the attention to detail, I feel like, in everything that you guys put out.
Yeah, try to keep it unique and intentional.
Definitely. I wanted to ask you too about the, because I always like to ask, would you have a favorite style of beer that you prefer to, like, to brew? And then also what you, if you were going to another tap room or going to a brewery, what you would prefer to drink?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can kind of make this a little bit longer of an answer, but when we back to my homebrewing days, pretty much the only styles that I would make were German lagers and kind of English ales, anything from English pale ales to IPAs. So when we started the brewery with my two partners, that's pretty much what I was making. And, you know, they're like, hey, everybody wants IPAs, not English ESBs and random German lagers. Yeah. You know, can you make some IPAs? And I'm like, all right, well, I guess, but that's not really what I want to drink. And they're like, well, yeah, that's cool. But, do you want this business to last? Or, you know, yeah. So that's when we kind of dove headfirst into making IPAs. And they asked me, hey, can you make a hazy IPA? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but I'll take my trusty, you know, Pliny the Elder clone homebrew recipe and kind of turn that into a hazy IPA. And that's kind of where Socks and Sandals was born. We kind of tweaked that recipe. And I mean, we're kind of continually tweaking it, but back to the original question, I still prefer pale German lagers, specifically Pilsner. I think it's just such a difficult style to really nail. You can, you know, taste any flaws. The recipe has to be perfect. The brewing techniques have to be perfect for it to kind of come through. So that's usually my preference is Pilsner. Our Pilsners, I even named after my daughters. So we have our Penelope Pilsner. Penelope's my oldest daughter.
Oh,
so that's
awesome.
Our kind of like our core, traditional German Pilsner. And, we have, Paisley Pilsner, which is an Italian Pilsner. And then I actually have a third daughter on the way, but I haven't decided on a name or a Pilsner style.
Okay.
But I'd say, Pilsner's my favorite one to brew and to drink, as you know. And if I go to a brewery, you know, if they have a good Pilsner, they're most likely going to have good rest of their beers.
Yeah.
But besides Pils, I think, West Coast Pale Ale is also one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I'm honestly the same way. And you saying that right now about the, like, you know, if their Pilsner is good, everything else is probably good. I say that on the show all the time. Yeah, so, exactly. Because that's usually what I'll go to. Like, especially like, you know, at the warmer months, sometimes, like, you know, you kind of want something crispy. You want something like that. I know in the, maybe in the later months of the year, like the, you know, winter time, maybe like I'll have like a stout or two every once in a while. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, you can't go wrong with a West Coast or, you know, Pilsner. Definitely. Or rice lager, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other new stuff coming out anytime soon?
Yeah, pretty much every week we have something new coming out. I mean, we're always making new hazy IPAs, double IPAs, triple IPAs.
Nice.
You know, we have a new lager that comes out pretty much every week or two. Try to keep a couple around. You know, our Helles is had a lot of success. You know, it's won a lot of awards. It's a pretty solid Helles, so we try to keep that around at all times, as well as a Pilsner of some sort and maybe a seasonal lager. But yeah, we're always have new stuff coming out.
Awesome. I don't know what I was thinking about doing, because like I said, sometimes it's a little harder, but they would get them sometimes down here. Well, it's actually not right by me. It's about 30 minutes away. There's a liquor store, but they would get, that has, you know, specializes in craft beer. And they usually have like, it would usually when I go on there, they'll have like at least one or two of, you know, from Humble. So, or from Humble C. So I will go over there and I'll drive out of the way to go get that stuff. Nice. But I realized not just until the other day that you guys actually ship too as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We do direct to consumer. So yeah, I mean, not all of our beers make it out to distro, you know, majority of them don't. So if you want your best bet to get, you know, some of the small batch unique stuff is just to order directly from our website if you're in California, because that's the only state we can ship to.
Yeah, definitely. I wish they would open that up, but I know, I guess it's all complicated,
yeah.
I guess.
There's a lot of complications there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, definitely. But I'm going to have to, I was thinking about it. I was like, I might just have to order a couple 4-packs myself and then order a t-shirt and a sticker, because I mentioned earlier about how I'm like loving the logo so much, that hammerhead, like I grew up like surfing, like with my stepdad over in Huntington Beach down here. So like being in the water, like always like me, and I've always felt like some kind of like a special connection with the water.
Absolutely.
And like I grew up like watching like The End of Summer and In God's Hands and like reading Surfer Magazine and stuff like that, which is, you know, like being more from the Los Angeles area wasn't as popular. But when I would go to like, you know, or like none of my friends would ever surf before or anything like that. But it was always like, it was just unique, because I mean, I feel like when you're that close to the water and, you know, you can do those sort of things, it's really, I don't know, it's like you make that connection kind of like, I guess, just like you, I'm not trying to say like a weirdo or anything, but like you just kind of become one with the water in a way, especially like when you first kind of get up. I mean, learning how to ride on like white water and stuff like that. Did you ever surf or anything?
Yeah, definitely surfed a lot.
That's awesome. Were you a shortboarder, longboarder?
Both. Yeah. Okay. I mean, learned on a longboard, but yeah, mostly shortboard.
That's awesome. Where would you use to surf up there? Or where would you surf up there?
There's tons of spots around town. I mean, all the really good spots are just so packed and crowded. But I kind of prefer to go a little bit outside of town and, you know, north of town a little bit. There's some cool spots that don't have quite the crowds.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, there's Santa Cruz is, you know, surf town USA. There's
oh, yeah. Spots. Yeah, and I've been to Santa Cruz once, and it was a long time ago, but I've always wanted to get back up there. But, I mean, I haven't surfed in years now, but, I mean, I've always wanted to get back out there and do it. I mean, I'm probably going to have to jump on a longboard, because the shortboard, I'll probably eat shit pretty bad.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, for sure.
And it's that muscle memory, too, like, you know, like, having that. Even then, like I said, I mean, I did it for, I don't know how many years I did it with my stepdad, but I always told him I wanted to be like, was it Mickey from, I don't know if you've ever seen In God's Hands way back when, it was like Shane Dorian and all those guys, where Mickey takes the rock and, you know, I was willing to train me to be a pro surfer, but nice. That didn't really work out all that well. So yeah,
it's all good. Beer's cool too.
Oh yeah. No, and that's what I love to do it. I mean, I love, like, that's why I love being able to do this, to be able to, I mean, I have my full-time job, but being able to do this and have a conversation with you and, you know, and be able to talk a little bit about beer and, like, you know, the craft beer scene and all that sort of stuff. Like, up in Santa Cruz, is there, like, are there other, like, craft breweries or other places that you would recommend to go if people were going up there?
Yeah, I mean, there's, I think Santa Cruz has, I don't know, 14-ish breweries in Santa Cruz County. Yeah, a lot of solid choices. I mean, Santa Darius is kind of a world-renowned, you know, Saison brewery. They're in town. But there's a lot of solid choices.
Awesome. Do you like wild ales?
I enjoy them. I don't really drink them too often, but, we have a mixed fermentation program with our brewery. So we've been making, you know, wild ales and mixed firm beers since the homebrewing days. So we have a small program that we put out beers from, but it's not really like our focus.
Oh yeah, no, that's cool. I was just curious because I know like some people are kind of torn on the wild ale stuff. So I've always kind of curious to see like who likes them, who doesn't.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any fun like kind of tap room stories from when you guys first opened in Santa Cruz? I know you mentioned the one earlier about not wanting to charge people for beer, so.
Yeah, that's probably the most unique one. I mean, I don't really spend a ton of time in the tap room, honestly, you know, since I'm in the back. But, yeah, I mean, when we first opened, it was kind of a shit show because we, you know, built a little bit of a following, you know, before opening. So, you know, opening weekend was just madness. And we actually opened on St. Patrick's Day, not by decision. It's just that's the day we got final permit sign off, you know. So
yeah,
I was, you know, trying to help behind the bar, pouring beers, bussing tables, and I'd never really worked in a bar, so that was pretty interesting. I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, and to me that's kind of like, it's kind of crazy too, because I mean, like, you would think, like, you know, just from the, like, and it feels like from an outside perspective that, like, you would think like, oh, we could, yeah, just like this should translate to doing something like that, like working in like behind the bar, but it doesn't if you've never done that before.
Yeah
Sure. Well, yeah, no, it's like, it's one of those things. And there's, I always like to hear taproom stories, or like one thing I always like to ask brewers too is like if they've ever had a stuck mash. I know that's a big thing in the brewing community, like how big rice holes and all that stuff are.
We stuck mash a lot of stuck mashes.
Yeah, I mean, I just always find it, like, because I've only ever, like, I went to, like, a brewing class, and I've always wanted to learn how to brew. If you were talking to someone, or somebody was asking you for advice on what, like, you know, how they would go about brewing for the first time, what kind of advice would you give them?
Oh, man. Careful. It's a rabbit hole.
Oh, it's okay. There you go.
Yeah, you know, your homebrew equipment will turn into a brewery one day. That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, the go-to book is still, the John Palmer How to Brew. At least it was when I was homebrewing. I think it's still kind of the go-to book that breaks down brewing in its simplest terms, you know, and just getting like a simple extract kit from a homebrew store. So you can, you know, make a batch on your stovetop with not a ton of equipment, you know, be step one. And if it's something that you like, then you can kind of keep adding to your equipment, you know, to make things as complicated as you want.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, and that's what me and my brother want to get, try one of those Brewzillas. We want to start brewing. Remember, he actually works with Brewery X down here.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, people are probably tired of hearing about it because I mention it all the time. I'm always name dropping my brother, but
nice.
Yeah, he does like distro, and he does like the can artwork and stuff like that, or some of the can artwork for them.
Rad.
Yeah, but he grew up like me too. Like, we grew up, you know, on the beach, but then, you know, grew up drinking beer and stuff like that, and obviously not. Obviously, I had a legal. I was going to say I had a legal drinking age, but no, not really. I mean, we all start a little early.
Yeah.
Totally. But we always talk about like our first experience with like craft beer, and it was like you mentioned yours was like was it Sierra Nevada? Did you have a favorite there? Because mine was Stone. The first craft beer I ever had was a Double Bastard, and I was like, "What is this? Why is it so bitter?"
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorites from Sierra Nevada at that early time, they had a Blonde Ale. I don't think they make it anymore, but you could only get it in Chico. But it was kind of like a kind of stripped back version of their pale ale, you know? So just big Cascade hoppy beer, but pretty light. That was a pretty cool beer. And then, they had a Crystal Wheat beer that they commercially made for a while called Old Chico. I don't think they make it anymore.
Okay.
But that was like our, you know, if we're going to spend money on a party, we're going to get a keg of Crystal Wheat instead of, you know, Keystone Light type of thing.
Definitely.
So those were the two go-tos for me that kind of got me into it.
Okay. And you mentioned you went to Chico State. What year did you go there? Because the only reason I was asking, because I know, didn't like Aaron Rodgers went to Chico State?
Yeah, he went to...
And then Duke Cal.
College, the community college in Chico, we're just outside of Chico.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
But I was there. I graduated 2008 from Chico State.
Oh, that's awesome. Think,
Aaron Rodgers was right.
Oh, okay. No, I was just going to ask, like, what was your, like, your major? Like, what were you, like, original? What were the original plans before craft brewing took over?
I got a degree in construction management. So I worked in kind of commercial construction management in Silicon Valley for several years, and then ended up getting my own contractor's license and doing my own thing, kind of before the brewery. So, which is handy because I ended up brewing or building a lot of the brewery myself. Save a ton of money. And
that's awesome. Cause that was going to be my next question. Was like, did that help with building the brewery?
Yeah, definitely. Big time. And, you know, still do random projects here and there, but yeah.
That's awesome. And do you guys have a kitchen at any of the tap rooms or anything?
We have one at our Pacifica location.
Okay.
But nothing at Alameda, and then Swift Street's kind of a simple, we serve empanadas behind the bar, but also have like a rotating food truck that comes.
Nice. Them empanadas are always good. You can't beat that.
Yeah. They're solid. Locally made. They're solid. Had some for lunch today.
Nice. What kind of food do they have at the kitchen in Pacifica?
It's kind of like kind of classic pub food, burgers, tots, you know, that type of thing.
Awesome. Yeah, you can't go on like burgers and all that sort of stuff. Because the one thing I always like to ask people as well is like if you were going to pair something with the beer, or what your favorite thing to have with the beer is pizza, wings, or a burger.
Those are, can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, what would be your favorite?
Tacos.
There you go. Can't go wrong with tacos in your life.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like do you ever play around, make like Mexican lagers or anything like that?
I'll make them every once in a while. Yeah.
Nice.
But not consistently.
Okay. And I was just kind of curious because I mean that would be like perfect with a taco.
Yeah, for sure.
Tacos, you can't go wrong.
Really good taco truck that comes to the brewery a few times a week.
So okay.
I'm usually out there at least a couple times a week.
Nice. You mentioned about that Keystone Light. I was just kind of curious if you had any hangover cures or if you had any hangover like stories from when you were in college or anything like that.
Oh man. I mean, a lot of them. Hangover cure, you know, just don't drink, you know, that's easier said than done. I think now, you know, I don't drink a ton anymore, you know, just cause it's, you know, I've been around it forever and it's always there, but you know, staying hydrated, electrolytes is kind of the big thing when I go to collabs or beer festivals, you know, just kind of pacing yourself and keeping up with those electrolytes. But yeah, I got tons of hangover stories. I don't know what's relevant.
Yeah, you can talk about anything you want. You're good, brother.
One that sticks out to me is I went to Oktoberfest in Munich in maybe 2018 or 2019. Drank 5 liters of Oktoberfest.
Oh, dang.
On a hungover, I was already hungover going into it. So that just delayed my hangover to the next day. And it was a pretty all time hangover for me. Top three for sure.
Nice.
That's a standout. I don't know. There's been certain collabs where things kind of don't necessarily get out of hand, but all of a sudden you are way more intoxicated than you anticipated. So,
Oh yeah.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, it happens sometimes you're at a brewery and you only mean to go have one or two, and then those one or two turn into 3 or 4 or 5 different doubles. Yep. And you're like, what's going on now?
Oh yeah, exactly.
When's the Uber get here?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little, I have 2 little kids and, hangovers aren't really on the, can't really pull them off anymore,
Yeah. It's got to be, it's vitamins and, and water, like you said, electrolytes and stuff like that. Got to
exactly
get that. But man, honestly, I said, I don't want to keep you too long, but I just wanted to, say congratulations, because what you guys put out consistently, and I'm not just blowing smoke. I thoroughly enjoy all of your guys' beers and all the stuff. Like I said, I'm going to order some merch and stuff like that too, because I love the blue shirt with the seafoam green, a hammerhead on the back. That's my favorite. So I'm going to order some stuff. And I just wanted you guys to, just be able to hear your story and how that all started means a lot to me, because it's something you started something from nothing and you got to do that stuff with your dad. And my dad, my dad means a lot to me, and we share kind of, similar, interests and stuff like that. So it means a lot. So I really appreciate this.
Yeah. Appreciate all the kind words. It's all really awesome to hear, and, makes all the hard work worth it. So thank you.
For sure. One more before we go. Because I know we talked a little bit about surfing, but skating up in Santa Cruz is such a big thing too. Did you ever skate?
I did a little bit. Never got super far with it. I actually mountain bike probably more than anything.
Oh, awesome.
These days. I've been mountain biking since high school, but Santa Cruz Bikes is right down the street from the brewery, and there's tons of world-class trails right behind the brewery, basically. So mountain biking is kind of my jam these days.
That's awesome. And I was just gonna say, I bet there's probably some majestic type views up there with that when it comes to either biking trails or hiking trails. I couldn't skate. Yeah. I go down the driveway and I'm going to eat shit. I can't do it.
It's hard. Yeah. Especially when you get older, it's just, risk is not really worth it.
Oh, definitely not. Because bones take a little longer to heal the older you definitely, get. So.
For sure.
Oh man. But like I said, I really appreciate this. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got, some stuff going on. And obviously the 2 little girls, you can't keep daddy waiting, right?
Yep. Exactly.
All right, well, we'll stay on and chat for a minute. But everybody listening, thank you again, Nick, for being on the show. Make sure you're on Instagram, follow @HumbleC. Do you have anything else, any events coming up, Nick, that you guys want to promote or anything like that?
I think. Nothing, no big events kind of on the horizon. We have some kind of special releases planned for Thanksgiving time and the holidays, but other than that, keep an eye out for the cool new beers coming out.
Awesome. Sounds good. And you know what I meant to ask you, when's the anniversary for Humble C? It's 2017, right? You said you opened it?
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day, so March.
Oh, that's right, St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, so March will be our 7 year? Yeah.
Awesome. And I was just going to add one more thing, if you don't mind. Obviously you guys made it through COVID. Was that, I can imagine the hardship, because I know breweries took a beating, when it came to stuff like that, when it came to how they're, you know, honestly how they were treated, and then not being able to allow to reopen. Was it a lot all can releases, like, or also just selling 4-packs, like, to kind of navigate through that, or what was that like?
Yeah, that was an interesting time for us, for sure. We actually ordered our canning line like 6 months prior, so it It showed up March of 2020, so like perfect timing, because we're using a mobile canner at the time, like once or twice a week. So when everything got shut down, luckily one of my business partners has a, you know, is a pretty tech savvy guy, and pretty much stayed up for a couple of days building out our direct to consumer website and launched it. And we were one of the first breweries in California to launch it, so the orders were just absolutely insane. And luckily we had our own canning line, but we doubled our production size in 2020 and doubled our production team, and it was a pretty insane year. So we got lucky by a few different things, but yeah, it was interesting for sure.
That's awesome though, because I mean, it was obviously everything was crazy when we were going on during that time, but a lot of times when you talk to people in the craft beer industry, and they, and you talk to them about COVID, like a lot of times it's, you know, it's completely the other way. Like obviously things were bad, like, you know, they couldn't do anything, but I'm glad that you guys were able to, you know, to navigate through that and being able to just keep, you know, keep everything going and obviously clearly flourish during that time, especially like get ordering your canning line before, just before, and it getting it right when everything kind of got crazy. And that's pretty awesome that he built that website pretty quickly. So
definitely dodged a bullet there.
Definitely. So, I mean, like I said, just keep doing what you're doing, and you keep making them, I'm going to keep drinking them. So
sounds great.
All right. Well, thanks again, brother. We'll stick around and chat, and everybody else that's listening on the, doesn't get to hear this part. So sorry about that, but just kidding. Love you guys. And, thanks again, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we're back again on another outro. Nadav's here from the past and going to be in the future at the same time. So weird how time works.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah. I was going to sing Back in Time again, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave this on the intro, on the outro. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do, just be kind, man. Like, just be good, man. Like, you know, not be great, just be a fucking good person. And, you know, somebody's, you know, there, and you're sitting across from somebody at a bar, and he looks like he's having a hard time, fucking say, like, hey, man, you doing all right? Or do you want to have a... Want to talk about it? You want to have a brewski together? Because that's what this show is all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah,
just as I said to you just a minute, you know, just before.
Yeah, be kind-hearted.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Treat people how you want to be treated.
Yeah. It's in gold jacket, green jacket. Who gives a shit? End of the episode. Love you guys. Thanks, Nadav.
Absolutely. Peace out.
Peace out.